Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Well, man, you guys ready for tonight? First of all, I got to say that, you know, our pastors are on their 25-year anniversary trip tonight. They're doing a cruise. They flew into Germany today, and I'm telling you, they are being blessed right now. It's always good to rest in what you've been doing. I preached on it this morning, but I'm telling you, we just want to be praying for them that they come back just next level, ready to kick not only the school year, but it's just, you feel the momentum building. And tonight has been, it's an incredible thing. We do a 3x10. And if you've been around long enough, you know what those are. But we're always looking, listen, if we're going to take a city, if we're going to take a kingdom, you got to see people and believe in people and pour into people that they can get up on this platform. And we have some of the greatest preachers in the world stand in Pastor Juergen's pulpit. And I'm telling you, he always says, you look for those that are willing to go for it, to give it all. And tonight we have three incredible preachers. We have Connor Mead, who's going to lead us off in just a minute. We have, I know, here it can, give me a minute. We have Kelly Hillard coming up and Randy Lanning. So listen, you got three packed out preachers that are going to bring the word. So listen, the 5 p.m., be hungry, press in, shout them down. The more you preach and pound it in, the more they're going to give you. So let's stand to our feet and bring up the first man, Connor Mead. Come on, brother.
Excited to be in the house of God tonight. It's going to be a good night. God is going to be here tonight. He is going to move all throughout this place. People are going to receive their miracles and breakthrough tonight. But before I get started, I just want to first and foremost just honor Dr. Matt, Pastor Matt, and Pastor Michaela. You guys are phenomenal. I'm so thankful for your guys' leadership and all that you're doing here up in North County. And it's such an honor and blessing to be here alongside you guys. So I'm so blessed to do church with you guys. And it's church is meant to be fun, right? And we got two of the most fun people in church. So tonight, something that's been stirring up on the inside of me, we're in our Back to Church series. And there's been this question that's been on the inside of my heart that I want to share with you guys. And the question is, what are you chasing? What are you chasing in life? Are you chasing, so some of you may be chasing like the success of the world, the success of fame, the success of money, the success of being on top all the time, of that dream car, of that dream house, or the right friendships, or even seeking and chasing like the affirmation of men. Which some of those things are good, and like God calls us to be, like he wants us to be blessed, to be a blessing, so he will give us finances, he'll give us influence and wealth so we can be blessed, to be a blessing to other people. But some of those things can actually keep you, if they're your number one priority in life, they can actually keep you from where God has actually called you to be. So if you're chasing the success of the world, if you're chasing the success and everything that the world is giving and not allowing God to be top in your life and top priority, then you're actually missing out on all that God has in store for you. And so like I like to think of it is, if you're chasing all those things and relying on yourself, on your own power, then you're actually limiting yourself of all the good that God wants to do in your life. He wants to bring you blessing upon blessing, but if you on your own think you can do it on your own power, then you're actually capping out of what God can do. And one of the things, the seeking affirmation, chasing affirmation, that is kind of one thing that when I was younger and even a few years ago that really I struggled with. So I would always seek affirmation of men. So I thought the only way that I could get promoted in life, the only way that people would notice me is if I do things in front of like high level people. So I would do things seeking to gain promotion, thinking that if I was seen by this person, then that's how my life will actually elevate. And that was not a good place to be in. And then Even coming into this church about 2 years ago, I would do things and do tasks only so other people can notice me. And so at times I would only take out trash if high-level people were looking at me, because I thought the only way that God could elevate me in my life would be if they saw me, which was super wrong. And then God actually showed me that Connor, men doesn't elevate people. It's actually I'm the great elevator. I'm the great promoter. So if you trust in me, and and be faithful to me, that's when your life is actually going to expand. And he said, what you do in private, I will reward publicly. So then from there, I was like, I don't care if people see me or not. If I'm driving an hour and a half to pick up a youth, if I'm spending my gas money, if we're on My City Leaders, if we're doing that and no one else sees, it doesn't matter, because God sees and God will reward. And that's all that really matters. And so you may even be in here too. You might be working for a boss and you're staying late, doing countless hours and pouring in time trying to figure out how you can develop the right structure, make your boss earn more money and things like that. And he doesn't see it, but God sees and God will reward that. So it doesn't matter who sees, but only God. So tonight I really wanted to focus on a few things, and I was really thinking about what we're chasing in. And I thought that we need to chase God with all of our heart. So King David really stood out to me, because in the Bible it said he was a man after God's own heart. So I have three little points that I want to share with you guys that King David did. There was quite a few more that made him have a heart after God's own heart, but these three really stood out to me. So I want to start off with reading Acts 13:22. And it says, "And when he had removed him, he raised up for them David as king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, who will do all my will." And it says that David had a heart after God's own heart. It didn't say he had God's heart. We know David made mistakes. He had someone killed. So I'm telling you guys today, even if you made mistakes, that God can still use you. It doesn't matter what you've done, that we can all also have hearts after God's own heart, no matter what mistakes or what struggles or what bad things we may have done in our life. So let's be men and women that have a heart after God's own heart. No matter our struggles, no matter our difficulties, no matter the things that we've been through or gone through, but God wants to elevate you and bring life into your life and really reveal the purpose that he has on the inside of your heart. So the first point that I want to share with you guys is trust. So trust is just a really key kind of point, and I really feel like some of us will lose sight of trusting in God because we may be going through a difficult time or in a difficult season, and we may be going down this road that seems really bad, and we may be struggling. We don't know how God is going to provide, but in those valleys, God is actually testing us. If we're going to actually have faith to trust in him, that no matter how bad a season gets, that with God, that we're able to do above anything that the devil will try to throw our way. And I like what it says. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understandings. So in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your path. When you trust in God, it doesn't matter what the world is throwing at you. He'll direct your path and put you where he wants you to be and where he wants to call you to go. And so I really like trust, because it's a hard thing to do, especially when you're in that difficult season. But when you make it to the other side, you're so thankful that you never lost sight of trusting in him, because if you did, it would have kept what God wanted to do for your life. So the second point I have for you guys and to have a heart after God's own heart is faithfulness. And I really think faithfulness is something that each and every single one of us should have, because it really shows, like, it's all about your heart. So God sees, like, even like David, when he was tending the sheep, no one else saw that, but he was being faithful with doing that. And then he was in a point where he was able to kill lions and kill bears, which eventually prepared him for taking on Goliath and becoming king of Israel. So you never know with how little of a situation that you may be in or how little responsibility you may have. If you're faithful with that, God will let you be faithful in a lot more and in a lot much. And really with me, this ties into me, because I just finished the internship in the past July, which was the best 2 years of my life, a little internship plug. But I was, in the first year of doing the internship, I really didn't have much responsibility or much weight. So what I wanted to do for myself was be faithful in every little thing. So even in showing up on time, being punctual to our Wednesday meetings, like I would always make it a fact in my life that I would show up at least 5 minutes early, because if I knew I was faithful in that, then God could actually take me to a higher place because he knew where my heart was. And so the last one I have for you guys is obedience. And obedience is a really tough one to do at times, because you may be in a situation that God will call you to step out of a comfortable situation and step into something that he wants you to rule in. And obedience is just being obedient to the will that God has in store for you. So you never know like what kind of steps of obedience will take to the divine appointments that God will bring, the different connections with people, the people that you will lead to Christ, all because you decided to step out and obey him, even if it was a little terrifying and scared for yourself. And just with like David, like he was obedient. Like his father sent him to go check on the sons when they were taking on the Philistines. And so when he did that, he was obedient to delivering food and then ended up being the one that conquered Goliath. So you never know the steps of obedience that you take, what the outcome will be on that. And then just in closing, I have a couple minutes left. I just wanted to share with you guys, like we all go through a ton of struggles and a ton of like chaos in the world. And you never know like the stresses that it has on people. And trust God, it'll be a little stressful at times, and you'll worry at times of like how you're going to make it through. But I found this illustration that a psychologist actually shared, and I want to share it with you guys. And so they had a glass of water, a little bottle of water, and they were talking about like how heavy is this glass of water. Many of you thought I was going to say like, is it half full, half empty? But the students then answered the teacher like asking how heavy it was, and they said anywhere from 8 to 20 ounces. And so the teacher then said, actually, the absolute weight of the bottle doesn't matter. It depends how long you hold it. And so like if you hold it for a minute, it's no problem. But if you hold it a bit longer, for an hour, your arm's gonna start to ache. If you hold it for a day, your arm is gonna become numb and paralyzed. And so in each case, the glass of the water didn't change. It just depended on how much longer the person held it. And so like I like to think of this is like stress and worries and the burdens in your life are like the glass of water. Think of that as like while holding it for a while, nothing really happens. But then you do it for a bit longer, then it begins to hurt. But if you hold on to those worries, hold on to those burdens, hold on to those anxieties for a whole day, then your life will become paralyzed and helpless. And so I want to just encourage you guys to let go of those burdens, let go of those weights, give them to God, because when you do that, you'll find freedom. God will bring rest upon you, and your life is just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. So I want to thank you guys for listening, and help me welcome up Pastor Kelly Hillard.
Connor Mead. You know, I was actually on a bus with Connor Mead and a bunch of eighth graders in Washington, D.C. not that long ago. And did you know that he's actually a descendant from General Meade from the Battle of Gettysburg? Little known fact. Yep. You're a good young man, Connor Meade. All right. Oh my gosh. 9:23. Here we go. Okay. So I'm going to put my glasses on, if you don't mind. All right. So we're going to just start right now and go right into the Word. So if you have your Bibles, come with me to Matthew 13:31, and it should come up on the screen. These are the words of Jesus. Here is another illustration Jesus used. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed planted in a field. It's the smallest of all seeds, but it becomes the largest of garden plants. It grows into a tree, and birds come and make its nests in its branches. Okay, put a pin in that. We're going to go to another verse, and this is Ephesians 3:20. This is a favorite. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. I love this one part. It's like, more than we might ask. So I'm going to tell you a story. A few years ago, we got a call from our realtor friend who said, I found a house and it's bank owned and you guys need to come take a look at this. And we thought, my gosh, we're in a house that we've been living in for 17 years that we love, that we've renovated. It's one of those houses that people would walk in like, oh my gosh, this is your forever home. I'm like, I know, it's amazing. We love this house. And but our friend said, you know what, you need to come and take a look at this. And so we thought, yeah, let's go do this. So we went and we walked in, And let me just paint a picture. It was a 1955 ranch-style house, maybe 1,700 square feet, dingy white carpet, stickers on the counters and on the cabinetry because they had a bunch of kids, and but a beautiful piece of land. It was on a beautiful piece of land. And so we walked in, and something stirred on the inside of our heart. We're like Eddie and I both thought, there's something about this property. What I think we should put a bid on this. Well, us and 13 other people. And so because there were a lot of developers looking at it, it was a teardown. People wanted it for the property. And so we thought, you know what, let's do this. And so there were like 13 of us, and we made a bid, and I got, and as we were, that evening, I was reading Lioness Arising by Lisa Bevere. And she was telling a story in her book about the fires that were happening in Colorado Springs. Do you remember this? And the whole community was aflame. I mean, there were evacuations. There was loss of property. It was really a disaster. So they brought in all of their employees to the offices, and they just gathered around and said, listen, we've got to be specific, and we've got to pray. So they brought out this whiteboard, and they just started writing down what they were believing God for. And she said it wasn't much longer when all of a sudden you could feel the temperature change, you could feel the air pressure drop, and this cold front started to move in, and exactly everything that they had written down, no more evacuations, no more loss of property, that the fire would actually consume itself. And it did, exactly how they had written out. And I felt like the Lord say to me, okay, Kelly, what are you believing me for? So I'm like, okay, this is my chance. So this is a piece of paper on Messenger International letterhead that was in my book. And so I started writing, and the pen just flew. And I was like, here it goes. February 1st, 2013. I am praying that our bid on Linha del Cielo will be accepted. Yes. That we'll be able to renovate with all our wish list items, because why not? And absolutely love the house in a way unexpected and beyond. Wow. Ephesians 3:20. I pray that our current home would sell for asking price. Yes, quickly. Why not? So that all the renovations will be done on time and right before we move in, which was really tight. Thank you, Pastor Matt, for your motorhome. Because, Lord, you desire to bless your kids with good things like a loving daddy does. And then I end at Selah, because apparently I'm a writer of Proverbs. So anyway, so I get a call the next day from the realtor, and she's like, bad news, you didn't get it. And I'm like, wow, I was so sure. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, I've got a prophecy here. I'm going to pray it in. That's why sometimes he gives you a word so that you can go to battle with it. So I started praying, and I'm just like, oh, Lord, if I heard from you, please let us have favor with the bank. I think that there's something more here, and I feel like I heard your voice, so give us favor. So then the next day I get a call, and she said, you're not going to believe it. I'm like, oh, just try me. She said, it fell through. They failed to perform, so now it's everyone back with your highest and final bid, and now there's 12. Like, okay. We can do this. And so we gave our highest and best offer, and don't you know, we, by the teeny tiniest of margins, got it. So, but it doesn't end there. So now we've got to pack up. So we've got 4 months to get our house ready. So we're packing up, and we're getting our house ready to go. And because it's been 17 years, there's a little bit of deferred maintenance. So we're doing some tiling, and we're doing painting. And I forget about my whiteboard prophecy. And we list it, and all of a sudden I find it in my Bible, and I'm like, oh my gosh, we're supposed to get full price offer. I've got to call my realtor. And I called her. I'm like, you know what? There's not going to be any negotiations. I think God told us to wait for a full price offer. And she's like, She's a God-fearing woman. She loves the Lord and is faithful. And thank goodness she also is married to a Navy SEAL, so she understands, like, commands. And so she's like, she had her marching orders, and she's like, okay, we're going to do it. And so realtors thought we were absolutely crazy, people thought they're never going to get it, and your client's nuts. And because we're testing the market, we actually increased the price, kind of silly, forgetting that I had written this, and now we're committed. And sure enough, we did. This person came, had to have it, gave us what we asked for, and it was just like just exactly like God had said on my prophecy. So, now listen. Now, how many of you guys know that this isn't a message about real estate? Although, I have to tell you, I do carry an anointing for it. So if someone is needing me to lay hands on them, literally, I am your girl. I'm so not even kidding about it. So, seriously. So here is a picture. Here's what I want to tell you. This is a picture of what happens when we connect to the heart of God. He gives us a desire for something that is so beyond what we really even have for ourselves. He is the multitasker. God is the divine multitasker. It's like, he gives us something beyond our imagination and even beyond what we would even think to ask for. But here's the reason why. The blessing's not just for us. The blessing was that little tiny mustard seed of faith that we just had to put it in his hand, and it turned out there was this kingdom purpose riding on that little tiny mustard seed of faith, because it was more than a house for us. Do you know what it is? It's actually a place where musicians come and meet with God, where ministers come and they stay and they get refreshed. We had a screenwriter come who came to write for 3 months. We had a wedding. It was way more than what we thought it was for. It was kingdom, and that is exactly what the Lord says we're to pray for. He says we're to pray for the kingdom of heaven to come here on earth, and this is kingdom purpose, and it's bigger. So anyway, and my time is out. So, but you know what? I really want to encourage you real quick that there's something that I know that you are believing for. There's even, I encourage you to get out your own whiteboard prophecy and give faith to it. Partner your faith with God to it and see what he can do, because he is a good dad. He's a good dad, and he wants to bless you, not just so that you will be blessed, but so that you can turn and bless others. And now, Randy Lanning. Come on out.
Keep it going, give it up, keep it going. Yeah. 5 p.m., how we doing? Yeah. Feeling good? Yeah. Feeling all right? You have a leg brace on. You walked in, you had a leg brace. As you walked down the stairs, I heard God say he's healing you right now. I don't know if you've ever been here before. I don't know if you've ever come to this church before, but you walked into a place that brings in healing. You walked into a place that brings something special, something supernatural is happening. And I believe right now God is pursuing you. I have to obey it. Let's keep it going, people. Let's keep it going right now. Hey, first of all, got to give a shout out to our pastors, Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. They're not here, but let's honor them 100%. Let's honor them tonight. But what about our campus pastors? What about our campus pastors? Come on now. Woo! Give it up. I'll tell you something, Pastor Matt, Pastor Michaela, I was studying David all week, believing that it was going to be David I was speaking on, but that must have been God working through Connor. So shout out to Connor. Shout out to Kelly. How awesome was that? And I heard God say this week, as David had mighty men, God is giving Matt and Michaela mighty men and women. Take it for what it's worth. Mighty men are coming into this house to surround you all, to build this church. Don't you know that they are building a church in North County, San Diego, that will take the city by storm? Take the city by storm. And I tell you what leaders model always manifests, what leaders model always manifests, and you can see that in the leadership that is transparent. Give it up for Pastor David and Brianna, what they're doing with this youth right now. What's modeling is being manifested in the passion, in the excitement that's coming out through our youth. A generation that will stand up and declare God's promises. A generation that will stand up and take charge, that won't take no. A generation for God. A generation for God. Boy, it's happening. Woo! I got to give it up lastly for my bride. I haven't wasted any time, but I got to give it up for my bride. If you don't know Katie Lanning, you got to meet Katie Lanning. You got to meet Katie Lanning. One of the greatest women on the earth. That's why I married her, baby. Love you. Looking good. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 7 is where I'll be reading from, but Judges chapter 6 introduces us to a man by the name of Gideon. You heard the name? Yeah. Shout out to Gideon. Gideon is being used of God, will be used of God, to deliver God's people from the hands of the Midianites. The Midianites, their name, it means confrontation, it means conflict, it means brawlers, it means strife. God is going to use a person to deliver someone from strife. He's going to use this boy named Gideon, this young man named Gideon, to deliver his nation from conflict. The Midianites represent conflict. Say conflict.
Conflict.
Conflict. But when the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, he greets him and says, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Valor meaning strength, wealthy is even what definition of this. But it's interesting, Gideon's response. Gideon projects and he says, "I am of the weakest clan and I'm the lowest member of this family." And what jumps out to me there is that you have Gideon, a prime example of, he is projecting what he is reflecting. And a lot of people in our lives, in our world, they will project onto other people what they actually reflect internally. And that's why our world is so chaotic, because I hate you, because deep down, if I can be honest, I hate myself. I'm struggling with myself. The reason I'm at odds with you is because internally, I'm at odds with me. And an angel of the Lord appears to Gideon and he says, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." And Gideon says, "It can't possibly be me, because if you knew me, you would know I'm the least qualified person to actually go out and do what you've commanded and called me to do." Yet nonetheless, he still is called. God doesn't call you from your place of dysfunction. God will call you from a place of your destiny. I love that God speaks to me from who he sees me to be. I love that God speaks to me today from the person he sees that I will be one day. He doesn't see me for my dysfunction. He doesn't see me for my regret. He doesn't see me for my failures. He sees me for the person I am to be. And if God looked at me today and saw me for who I really was, he would say, "You failure." He would say, "You've messed up." He'd say, "You mistake." But God doesn't see me for that. He sees me as the person he's created me to be. And the same goes for you. You are not your mistakes. You are not your regrets. You are not the failures the enemy's told you to. I'll tell you what, it's been about 3 years since I've preached, so I'm pretty excited. Been preaching since I was about 7 years old. This was the longest stint I've ever gone. I didn't plan on talking about this, but even before I was sitting in the chair, I hear the enemy whispering, saying, "That church you pastored, church you pastored never launched, kind of flopped. And I felt the weight, but I heard the word of God and I heard what he said. And he said, if I called you, I will equip you. Philippians says, he that begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. He says, if I've called you, I've equipped you. And it doesn't matter what anybody says. It doesn't matter what the haters say. It doesn't matter what the people trying to knock you down says. It matters what I say. So now to the text I gave them, what I'm going to preach from. 3 minutes, let's get to it. I'm going to break it down. God says, I'm going to deliver my people through you, Gideon. And he gives them specific steps. I want you to bring 3 things, Gideon. He says, I want you to bring a trumpet. I want you to bring a flame. He says, and I want you to bring a pitcher. 2 of those things you are going to use. 2 of those things you're going to use. The first is the lamp. The lamp to me represents the Bible. The Bible says, thy word, shout out, say the word. The word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. The Bible says that the word of God is quick and powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces even, and it goes on to say it's a discerner of thoughts. It's a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart. We live in a discernment-less generation. We live in a generation that has no discernment because they are void of God's word. And he says, if you're going to overcome the enemy, if you're going to overcome the Midianites, if you're going to overcome conflict in your life, the first thing you need to have is you need to have my word. My word. My word. It's a discerner of thoughts. I love the promise in Proverbs. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. It's a promise that if you let God direct your paths, if you acknowledge him in the many ways that you have in life, he will direct your path. He says, use the lamp. Use the lamp. But the second thing he says is the trumpet. Trumpets make loud noises. I don't know if you've heard that. Spoiler alert. Trumpets make loud noises. It happens. Trumpets make loud noises. To me, the loudest noise you can make is your life. Is your life. It's your story. It's telling your story. It's getting personal about what God has done for you in your life. It's telling your story because people relate to your story. I met with Pastor Seth, who's launching C3 Portland in a few weeks. Phenomenal. I was amazed at the relatability of his story to mine. Almost to the point, I'm sitting having coffee with him, almost in tears, so moved by what he was saying because it was so deeply ministering to me, the story. But the last thing, the first two were meant to be used. The lamp, use it. Use my word. The trumpet, use it. Tell your story. But the last one, the pitcher, he says, I want you to take the pitcher and I want you to break it. I want you to break it. And you'll have to go to Judges chapter 7 to read it all. But I find it interesting. Use these two, but break this one. Because there are things in your life, before you will ever overcome conflict, before you will ever overcome the enemy, before you will ever overcome and get a great victory, that you just have to break it. You just have to release something from your hand. You're holding something in your life right now. You're holding something, holding on to something, and you're not supposed to be holding it. And God said, if you would just release it, if you would just let it go, if you would just set it down, then I could get you victory. But you'll never find victory. You'll never find hope. You'll never find it if you just can't lay it down. You just can't lay it down. My oldest son, Randy, whose birthday is tomorrow, shout out to my namesake, hashtag the remix. I'm done preaching. But at this specific time in his life, he was about 2 years old. And we were at the ocean. And he would run into the water and then he'd get thrashed by the water. And as a good dad, you just kind of got to let him get roughed up a little bit, right? make him stronger. Kelly Clarkson wrote a great song about that. Look it up later. He'd run into the water, and he'd get thrashed by the water. But he eventually figured something out. He would run back to Daddy. He'd run back to Daddy. And what he learned that day was, if I can go to my father, if I can climb up in his arms, we can go deeper. We can go further together. Because I'm in the arms of somebody greater than me. I'm in the arms of somebody who's familiar with the waters. I'm in the arms of somebody who's been down here before. I'm in the arms of somebody who knows what it's like to walk through the water, who has experience walking through the water, who's been there, who knows it. But if I can get in his arms, then I can find hope. And if I can get in his arms, then I can find strength. And if I can get in his arms, then maybe my circumstance could change. Then maybe it'll change. But if I can get into his arms, I think of our series that we have this month. Go ahead, stand to your feet. Let's bring this on home. I think of the series we're doing this month, Back to Church. Back to Church. Church is a community. I love that we had communion earlier. Communion could come from the same, comes from the same words as common union. Come into common unity with Christ. Communion. The church is a community of believers. Ecclesia, a group of believers gathered together. But maybe, just maybe, you're far from God tonight. Maybe you're far away from God. And maybe you've distanced yourself from him. Maybe because it was a previous church that hurt you. And that's the different subject. Maybe it was a pastor that let you down. Maybe it was somebody in the church you loved and respected. Maybe it was somebody. But tonight, right now, God is calling you back home. He's calling you back to him. He's prepared, as she spoke with the mustard seed, he's prepared a big tree suitable for you. As you find your purpose, you will find your purpose, as Connor spoke about, in the house of God. But he's calling you, the Spirit is drawing you back to him. Back to him. The first thing I want to put out there is, if you've never made the choice, if you've never stepped towards God, now's a good time. Because I find it interesting. God gave Gideon the instruction to lead his people through. But when you read the story, Gideon didn't do it by himself. I'll say it again. Gideon did not do it by himself. Gideon did it with a group of people. So coming back to church is about coming back to a group of people who will believe for your healing. Coming back to church is about coming into a group of people who will believe you for the miracle for the house. It's coming back to a group of people that know your purpose, know your destiny, and will help you unlock those things. It's coming back to what God has ordained you and called you to be on this earth. Coming back to church. Coming back to church. So if you've never trusted Jesus Christ, and if you've never made him your Lord and personal Savior, my voice is giving out. 3 years has been too long. If you've never made him your Lord and personal Savior, the Bible says, for all have sinned. Everybody's done wrong. We've all messed up. We all bear the shame of something in our past. We've all done it. But the Bible says, for by grace are you saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. And not of works, lest any man should boast. He says, by grace are you saved. The Bible says in Romans, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't you love the word from God? He says, if you call to me, I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. He says, if you call unto me, I'll do it. So I'm wondering tonight if there's anybody in here that you've drifted far from God. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you've drifted far from God. You've distanced yourself from God. But now's the time to come back. Now's the time to come back. Is there anybody, you would raise your hand and you would say, Randy, in front of God, in front of everybody at this church tonight, I'm coming back to God. I'm coming back to God. I see the hand up here. I see another hand. Fabulous. I see another hand. Yes, keep it going. You're saying, I'm coming back to God tonight. Don't be ashamed he hang on the cross for you. Don't be ashamed. Let's see. I see another hand. People are coming back to God tonight. You're saying, I'm taking my first step towards God. I'm taking my first step running back to God. He says, if you draw nigh to me, I will draw nigh to you. I see another hand raising up. People coming back to Christ. If you're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're not ashamed of what God has done for you, can we cheer them on? Will you join me down here in the front? Come on down. This is a safe place. Come on down. Let's join me. Let's join me in the front. I'll meet you halfway. I'll meet you halfway. I got somebody coming down. Keep them coming. Cheer them on, church. Cheer them on. Yes, keep them coming. I'm going to wait. I saw more hands. I saw more hands. I saw more hands. Come on down. Come on down. Don't be ashamed of what God's done for you. Don't be ashamed of what God's called you to do. Come on down. Guys, let's give it up for people stepping out in faith and trusting you as a Savior, Jesus as a Savior. So here's what I want everybody in the church to do. Reach out your hands. Reach out your hands towards these beautiful people. Reach out your hands, and in a moment, I'm going to lead us through a prayer, and I want you to say the prayer with me. Don't pray to me. Don't pray to those around you. Pray to God, because God is listening, and God is speaking to you. Here's what I want you to say. I want you to say, Dear God, Lord, I come to you with empty hands, and a heart looking for you, and a heart looking for wholeness, looking for a solution, looking for Jesus. And tonight, on this church, I put my faith, I put my hope, I put my all in Jesus Christ. And for now, moving forward, I trust you as the rock of my salvation. And it's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Give us. It never gets old. It never gets old. God bless you. God bless each and every one.
Church, come on, let's give it up. How many know 3 years? Man, we unleashed the beast tonight. I'm telling you. Listen, some of the greatest decision you'll ever make is the one you just made. And this couple right here, the Ropes, they have a book and a Bible they want to give you. If you already have a Bible, that's great. Give it to a friend. But we have the next book that this incredible pastor wrote called Following Jesus. It's the next steps. If you've never been baptized, listen, we do baptisms once a month. And I'm telling you, it will change your life. So you're in a good place. So proud of all of you. So why don't you just follow this couple? We'll get you that Bible, give you that book, get your details. We'll have someone pray with you standing behind you. Let's give it up, church, one more time. Don't you love how the Holy Spirit winds all that together? You know, there are no accidents. You know, we're just not pulling names out of a hat. I'm telling you, there's an anointing in the C3 house to raise up and release the gifts that are on the inside of you. And I don't care if you've been here for one Sunday or you've been here for 5 years. God is doing something in this house. And if we're going to be 16 campuses, if we're going to take colleges, if we're going to take high schools, if we're going to take the marketplace, you have a gift that God's unlocking in this house. And I'm telling you, sometimes you just need to get plugged in on a team so God can start cultivating that soil. Sometimes it's just showing up for men's prayer on a Tuesday, women's prayer on a Thursday. And I'm telling you, someone's going to prophesy over you that doesn't know you, but they're going to read your mail because God shows up in those places. And see, it doesn't say iron sharpens itself. Iron sharpens iron. So too must we hang out and speak life into each other. You know, the story of Jesus is really the greatest love story ever told. And how many know there's a lot of hate going on in this world? And I'm telling you, you just gotta refuse to let the hate speech get on the inside of you. You gotta look to our Father. We gotta pray. Sometimes we just gotta pray for ourselves to fill our heart up with love again, to give us grace that we just don't know if we have. whether it's for that coworker that's annoying, whether it's for the person that cut you off, no matter what it is, we just gotta wake up every morning and make a decision. God, fill my cup up again. Show me love, let me speak love, let me be love, let me be the light of the world. And I'm telling you, why is this church on fire? Because you're loving people, and that's what this is about. We have a lot of things going on. Grab a calendar, take someone out for dinner tomorrow while you're resting. Man, it's Labor Day. That means don't labor. Just celebrate life. The attitude of gratitude will take you to the next level. So as we go out of here tonight, we'll go out with a worship song. Let me just pray for you. You're an amazing church. Pastor Michaela and I love doing life with you. We love seeing the fruit of breakthrough in this house. If you need a miracle, see, some people think like, oh, it's got to be a big thing. No, no, no. God works in the big and the small. What's big for one person might be small to another. You know, I lose $100, I'm kind of ticked off. You know, I know people lose $100, they're like, oh, where's my change drawer? Take a hundo. All different levels. And I'm telling you, what's small for you, you know, it's one man's junk is another man's treasure. I'm telling you, there's gifting in this house that we got to learn to cultivate, to trust each other. Everybody's been wounded. You got to dust it off. I'm telling you, I'm so proud of all three of them for saying yes. And I felt God was doing something tonight. You know, with Connor Mead, of course he's a general. You know, with Kelly and the beautiful prophetic words. She walks in that prophetic anointing to prophesy over you. And Randy, man, don't ever go 3 years again. It's amazing what the devil can tell us. Some of you say, oh, I'm just not ready to date again. Fooey to that. You know, fooey to that, because we get wounded once, we say, oh, I'm not gonna date for a while. You know, we gave it a go in business. Oh man, we lost some money. I'm not gonna do that again. Fooey to that. God's got your back. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and live and according to his purpose. Let's get on purpose. Let's get together, band of brothers and sisters, and let's do this thing. Let's take a city. Let's take a North County. Let's pack out Cherish right here. Every seat filled. 490 seats in this house filled for Women's Journey Cherish Conference. It's sold out now at Central. Let's sell it out at North. Let's do this thing. We're going to have an men's emerge night coming up. There's too many great things that we got to just get out there and get it on. So let me pray for you and we'll get out of here. Dear Heavenly Father, God, I thank you right now for this house. God, I thank you for these young men and women, God. Lord, that we are all youth in your eyes. That, God, we're not too old to fulfill the destiny and the purpose that you set on the inside of us, God. Lord, that you're doing something big right here, right now. You're stirring up dreams again, visions, God. Lord, that we're resting in your word, God, that we're stepping out in faith, that we'll give it a go again, Lord. God, where we've been intimidated by the lies of the enemy, we bind every lie from the devil. We break off every stronghold right now in the name of Jesus. God, every calloused heart, God, you're removing, God, all the scar tissue to heal our spirit, to heal our soul. God, we rest in you, God. We press in for the things of you. God, and I thank you for a church on fire. Lord, and we just thank you for what you're doing this week. Let us have an incredible day tomorrow. God, send us out to be the light of the world. We give you honor tonight. And the church said, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.